You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today in Parliament, the government is expected to pass a formal climate emergency motion, properly declaring that New Zealand recognises the global climate emergency. It's hard to call the move controversial, as expected to pass with an overwhelming majority, but the move does have some questioning what exactly a climate emergency declaration means and what it actually does. The short answer to that is, well, nothing. It's a purely symbolic gesture, although one that's pretty important to get out of the way. What follows is what's really going to be important, and it's there where things get controversial. Jacinda Ardern has really stressed that the declaration is a statement of intent, that it symbolises how serious this new government is about addressing climate change. What this declaration will do is give a clear statement to which the government can be held accountable, and that isn't nothing. By declaring a climate emergency, the government is effectively staking their reputation on making tangible progress in addressing climate change, and experts have noted that as a major step in the right direction. The first step to recovery is, of course, admitting you have a problem. Dr. James Renwick of the Victoria University School of Geography, Environment and Earth Sciences spoke to RNZ yesterday.
It broadcasts to the world that New Zealand is serious about taking rapid action on climate change. And I know New Zealand's been knocked a bit recently for talking the talk but not walking the walk. Emissions of greenhouse gases in this country have not gone down noticeably for a long time, and in fact carbon dioxide emissions have gone up pretty dramatically in the last 30 years, so we do need to get on and do something. So I see this as a step in the right direction from the rhetoric point of view.
In that clip, Renwick points out that New Zealand has largely been quite stagnant when it comes to making progress in terms of climate change. Our overall emissions haven't reduced by very much over the past few years, with reductions in manufacturing and electricity being largely offset by increases in transportation, aviation, and livestock. New Zealand has largely, over the past few years, had a pretty embarrassing lack of control over our emissions. New Zealand accounts for about 0.17% of the world's emissions, which seems like a small number, but it's important to remember that our population is only equivalent to about 0.06% of the world population, meaning our role in climate change is disproportionate by almost three times. That's pretty nasty, especially for a country that sells itself on its beautiful environment. Part of declaring this climate emergency is that we also have to acknowledge that what we've done so far is pretty laughable and completely unbefitting of a nation that prides itself on its natural environment. Culturally, New Zealand has been aware of climate change for a very long time, but it's taken this long for the government to really acknowledge just how severe this emergency has become. This is certainly not the first declaration of a climate emergency. In fact, we're pretty late to the party. 28 countries besides New Zealand have declared a climate emergency, including the UK, Canada, Japan, and several others. In fact, the New Zealand government isn't even the first governing body within New Zealand to make the declaration. Nelson City Council declared an emergency in May of 2019, as well as Wellington's and Auckland's councils a month later. So with all these bodies finally acknowledging that there's an issue, what exactly are they planning to do to solve it? Well, so far the government has halted offshore oil and gas exploration permits, as well as reworking the emissions trading scheme. Last month, the government also announced a fund that aims to help businesses transition away from coal and gas and instead invest more heavily in clean energy. They also established a Climate Change Commission, which is an independent advisory group that aims to provide advice as to how we can further address climate change. Meanwhile, a number of local councils have set their own goals when it comes to replacing their vehicle fleets with electric vehicles, gradually replacing them over time and pledging to buy electric cars wherever possible. While those actions are certainly positive, the government has received a lot of criticism for not going far enough and generally falling short of a lot of the goals set out by the Paris Agreement. The government has been accused of being overall quite timid in its approach to dealing with major contributors to our emissions, allowing the agricultural industry to stay out of the emissions trading scheme until 2025, as well as avoiding any statements as to the future of fossil fuel vehicles in this country. Consensus from activist groups appears to be that the government could stand to be a lot more bold in its tackling of climate change, and with its current majority in Parliament, Labour could certainly get away with taking stronger action. That's what many are hoping this emergency declaration marks, the start of bolder action on climate change, because as it stands, we're a long way from reaching our goals and are really just spinning our wheels. Some are looking to the government's COVID-19 response as an example of the sort of swift and strong action that should be taken in dealing with climate change. After having been aware of climate change for so long, many people have taken to accepting it as a fact of life. But with proper communication and action, the climate emergency could be treated as just that, an emergency. One on a significantly larger scale than COVID-19, an emergency that poses a major existential threat not just to our country, but to our Pacific neighbours, who are feeling the effects with far more immediacy than the rest of us. So while this declaration is purely symbolic, the thing it symbolises is very much worth fighting for, and by declaring it formally, the government is giving us a free pass to hold them to account and demand better, and that's an opportunity we need to take.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.